I don't think so. It must have at some point.
Three, two, one, and we're on. Good evening and Happy New Year. Welcome to the City of Goleta Planning Commission, January 11th, 2009. Darn. I didn't practice that. 2010. I've written checks that way, too. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, roll call, please.
Thank you. Commissioner Kavanaugh,
here.
Commissioner Sheeler.
Present.
Commissioner Wallace.
Here.
Vice Chair Solomon.
Here.
Chair Daniels.
Present. Thank you. At this point in time, we have our public forum. Anyone in the audience could come up to the microphone and speak to any item that is not on tonight's agenda for a maximum of 2 minutes. I don't see anybody rushing to the microphone at this point in time, so I will leave the public forum open in case that there is someone from the Venico project that was previously noticed for this this evening happens to come in over the course of the evening. Amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. We were going to suggest that after the commission is finished with the next item, which is your administrative agenda, that you take your public hearing items out of order and take B2 first. That appeal has been withdrawn, so the commission just needs to formally accept that withdrawal, and then we would go on with the rest of the evening on item B1.
Thank you. Is that it, Ms. Miller? Okay, thank you. The administrative agenda, last meeting's minutes from December 14th, any comments? Yes, Commissioner.
I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. Motion carries 401. Thank you. Per Ms. Miller's request, I go to agenda item 3, the Venico case. Madam Secretary, can you read this in the record, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item B2 is a public hearing on 09-186-APP Venico Incorporated appeal of the notice of violation 09-130-NOV of city permit number 08-134-DPAM 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you. It has been suggested by staff that we confirm the withdrawal of this project from tonight's agenda. Can I get a consensus or a motion, please?
I make a motion to accept the applicant's withdrawal of the case.
Thank you. Second? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. 5-0. Thank you for your patience with our formalities. And Madam Secretary, could you read the previous item into the record, please?
Item B1 is a public hearing on 09-048-APP grant appeal of land use permit approval of 08-161-LUP Morales skateboard ramp located at 464 Wakefield Road, APN 069-412-009.
Thank you. Ms. Miller, do we have a staff report tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Yes, we do. And the presentation will be provided to you by Sean Ling, Assistant Planner for our department.
Mr. Ling, good. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. What I think I'd like to do for my presentation to you this evening is to just highlight the key issues that you're going to be considering this evening with regards to this appeal. I'm not going to go over every aspect of the staff report. I hope you found the report cogent and comprehensive, but brief enough. And so I'm just going to concentrate on the key issues that you'll be considering today. We received an application for a skateboard ramp located at 464 Wakefield Road, which is in the northeastern part of the city. I have projected here on the screen a vicinity aerial of the neighborhood. Up is north, and Berkeley Road here, going east and west, Wakefield Road, and the next block over is Arundel Road. Here with the red arrow pointing, that's the arrow is pointing to the site in question at 464 Wakefield Road. The application was filed in response to a zoning enforcement complaint and was filed in August of 2008. The skateboard ramp, here is a plan that illustrates the site as well as the proposed ramp. The ramp is located, as you can see, in the backyard, in the rear yard of the property. It's set back 9 feet from the south side yard. So the south side, south is to your right, as depicted on this plan. North is to on the left. Set back 10 feet from the rear line and 47 feet from the opposite side yard. The dimensions of the ramp are 24 and a half feet long by 16 feet wide in this direction by 5 feet tall at the ends. It's a half pipe style ramp. And so when we received the application, I just like to emphasize to the Planning Commission that we did not, we took this case very seriously, and we did not take our, we considered this very carefully, and we didn't take our first decision lightly. We looked to see if we had precedence for in our collective knowledge as a staff for either skateboard ramps or play structures. We determined that this could qualify as an accessory structure, and any accessory structure over 120 square feet in area needs a land use permit to be. We have, in the past, written land use permits for play structures that are over the 120 square foot exemption limit, exemption threshold. These include structures such as water slides and tree houses, but no skateboard ramps to our collective experience here at the city. We met with the applicant after the application was filed, Mr. Morales, to learn more about how the structure is put together, how would it be constructed, had he taken into account some of the concerns that neighbors might have with such a skateboard ramp. And we'll now project. We went out on site to do a site visit, and this is a photo of the ramp. So you can see how this is it's 5 feet tall, 24 feet in the long direction, and 16 feet in the wide direction. It's partially constructed. It's not complete, and to my knowledge, has not been used since it was sited on the property. Once we understood more about how it was going to be built, we understood that that this is not the finished state. The finished state would have a masonite felt surface that you would skate on, and then also insulated with baffle insulation and carpet on its ends as to reduce the noise, to reduce the potent the ramp producing noise. We recommended that if Mr. Morales is going to proceed with getting this permitted, that we recommended other mitigation measures. These measures included limits on operation, that this would be supervised by the children who would use this would be supervised by their parents, and that the ramp would be limited to being used between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. daily. There's no lighting proposed. The 9 p.m. limit, outer bound, was thought to be to accommodate potential use of the ramp in the summer hours when it gets dark much later at night. I don't think the ramp would be used in the dark. And we also recommended, in addition to the mitigation measures, that similarly to the other cases that we've processed for playhouses and other similar types of equipment, that Mr. Morales reach out to his neighbors and see and gauge how they felt about what he was proposing. We've had, in my memory, not my case, some tall play structures that could have impacted privacy and noise. And the one that was the bulkiest one, that applicant did reach out to his neighbors, and not only did we find that the neighbors not have a problem with that structure, but they actually enthusiastically supported that structure and intended to use it also. So in that case, we understood that we processed that land use permit, started that appeal period, and heard no objections. And so that's the permit path that we followed and recommended that the applicant pursue in this case. So after a number of months, after our meeting with the applicant late in 08, I checked in to see had he done this outreach, and it turned out that I was informed that he had reached out to most of his neighbors. None of them had having any issues with the skateboard ramp. So taking in all this together with the mitigation measures and the outreach that Mr. Morales did, we went ahead and approved the land use permit on March 30th of 2009. Within the 10-day appeal period, Mr. William Grant, who lives at, next door to the north on Wakefield Road, filed an appeal to this land use permit. His issues he has listed in the appeal, which is in your staff report. But the main one that has real substance that we need the Planning Commission's guidance on this evening is with respect to noise and privacy. I'll read you a quote from the appeal. The appellant, or from the staff report, the appellant believes that, quote, the occasional exuberance from the neighborhood children at play is very different from the constant clatter and grind, unquote, of a large skateboard ramp that lies over a considerable portion of the adjoining rear yard area. The appellant also states that people standing on top of a 5-foot-tall half-pipe will have a view in all adjacent yards from a 9.5 to 11-foot vantage point, thereby depriving residents of a reasonable expectation of privacy in their homes. We took the appeal and got more information from Mr. Grant as well as Mr. Morales to understand both the concerns that Mr. Grant was raising and to see if Mr. Morales could do something to address those issues. And then we took another detailed look at our regulations. So I'm going to just highlight the policy framework that we as a staff and now you as a Planning Commission are working within. We don't have specific regulations for play equipment, much less skateboard ramps. We also don't have a specific noise ordinance yet. That is an implementation action of our noise element in the general that we hope to have as a work effort in the near future. But we don't have a noise ordinance now. We don't have specific general plan policies that call out in. When I say specific, we have some very, this is in comparison to some very specific general plan policies like creek setbacks. We just don't have something that's very specific with regards to neighborhood noise or nuisance noise, with the exception of the one policy in the noise element that says that the city shall develop a noise ordinance. So, therefore, in reviewing this appeal, we have to zoom out a bit. We have to consider whether the three findings that are required for approval of a land use permit can be made. The first finding is the most germane to the discussion this evening, and the first finding reads that the proposed development conforms to the applicable policies of the general plan and the applicable provisions of this article, the Inland Zoning Ordinance. We then zoomed out a bit when in looking at our general plan and took a close look at the objectives of the noise element. And those are listed on page 3 of the staff report. And even though there are no specific policies, this is the intent of the noise element of the general plan, is to, I'm just going to paraphrase, to protect Goleta's residents from excessive noise by applying noise standards in land use decisions, to ensure compatibility of land uses with noise exposure levels, and to neither introduce new development in areas with unacceptable noise levels nor allow new noise sources that would impact existing development. And also policy NE7 design criteria to employ noise reduction measures into the design of development projects. As a staff, our practice is to read and implement all the policies of the general plan broadly to afford the greatest protection to the environment, and that includes neighborhood character. So our recommendation, therefore, our stance, is to lean on the side of precaution and protection. So there, in summary, we don't think that the first LUP finding can be made. And so that's why we are now recommending that the Planning Commission grant the appeal, and therefore rescinding the approval of the skateboard ramp portion of the land use permit. Having said that, I should note as a technicality matter that when we put this land use permit together, we also found that there was a trellis structure on the property that we decided to include into the scope of development in this permit. Our practice is that when we review a land use permit case, we check to see that everything on the property has a permit. If it does not, if there's something that doesn't, we incorporate that into the scope of the current application so as to bring everything up to compliance. The trellis is not at issue in this appeal. So to conclude my presentation, the Planning Commission is encouraged to proceed tonight and hear both sides of the appeal and consider whether the LUP findings can be made. The other alternative actions that Planning Commission can consider if it feels that the land use permit should be upheld if that's the direction the Planning Commission wishes to go, is to delineate and add further mitigation measures and then provide guidance to us as to how to substantiate the first required LUP finding. So with that, I end my presentation. If there's questions, I'm pleased to answer them for you.
Thank you, Mr. Ling. Are there questions from the commission? Perhaps I start by asking the commission if there's any ex parte or site visits to be declared. Commissioner Wallace.
Site visit, no conversations.
Commissioner?
Neither.
I did have a site visit and peeked over the fence because no one was home at the time after I had knocked a couple times. No other comments.
No ex parte and no site visit.
No ex parte or site visit.
Thank you. Questions for staff? Does anybody have questions for staff? I think I want to ask one quick one, and I'm sure this is just semantics. Mr. Ling, I heard you say that the ramp was sited on the property. I'm guessing it was located there. It wasn't sited for a violation.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, that's sited, S-I-T-E-D.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Wallace.
Please. I have a couple of things I'd like to ask staff. You suggested, Shine, that the ramp, to your knowledge, hasn't been used, but do you know how long it's been there?
Member Wallace, members of the commission, I don't have in front of me the date that the zoning violation, the complaint was filed with the Neighborhood Services Department. I know that we got the initial application in August 2008 and that I spoke with Mr. Morales in the couple months before.
That's okay. Yeah. I'll just ask the applicant when the time comes.
Yeah.
And then you said this ramp is here, but it's not in its final form. Is the final form relating only to some of the construction detail? In other words, the size that we're seeing now would stay the same?
I believe so, and I think I'll defer to the applicant to elaborate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then is this row, this hedge or row of shrub that we're seeing in the background, is that in between this ramp and the appellant's property?
No. This hedge you're looking at, let me back up one, is on this south, on this right hand or south property line. So the appellant is on the opposite far side.
Is there any similar hedge or shrubbery over there?
I don't not immediately know, but let me, I'll take a look at the photos.
Okay.
I don't recall. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I thought.
Any other commissioners? Questions for staff? At this point, we'd like to hear from the appellant. And I apologize, I don't have a name. Is this William Grant? Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Grant, welcome.
Chair, commissioners, is this on? Chair, commissioners, thank you for this hearing and process. Appreciate your time. And first thing I'd like to say is I love skateboarders. I'm at UCSB. We got about 10,000 of them there. So it's not an issue of any particular activity. I'm just by way of background, I'm a program manager there in technology, and I have about 550 students. So we drive innovation and spend a lot of time at that. So new development is something we're excited about and involved with. My wife is a senior researcher. She has about a $12 million a year research program there. And I say that by way of giving you an understanding of our hours. We typically are writing till midnight or 1 in the morning on a six-day-a-week basis. That's how you get to play in those leagues and achieve at that level. So the issues, and I'll be brief, I'm not going to use anywhere near of the 20 minutes proposed, but I appreciate the consideration. The noise and the nature of the noise are the things that are really crucial to us and to our way of thinking. This is itinerant noise. You will not have a steady hum. This is not like raindrops. This is a grinding of wheels and clatter of boards. The boards often get projected off of these ramps, and really a half pipe I would distinguish from a ramp. This is not one jump on a ramp on occasion. This is a half pipe that goes whoomp, whoomp, whoomp. And if somebody's on that for an hour and a half or 2 hours, when you have guests over in your backyard 55 feet away and it's cranking out 85 decibels, you're going to be concerned about that. So the issues to me are the deleterious effects of that random itinerant noise at high volume in a neighborhood. And one of the items that comes to mind from my perspective is this: if this is deemed a helpful and positive thing for the community, is there vacant land? Is there public land that we could put a plan and a program together, raise some money, and have an installation in that could be beneficial for Goleta as a whole? The other studies, and I've looked at many, and I don't know what research you've had. I'm sure Shine had seen some. Typical communities are looking at between 200 and 400 feet as a minimum for any siting to an adjacent residential area. The noise factors that these devices generate are uncommon. They're not like somebody whistling while they're riding a bicycle by, and that kind of interruption really, I think, would be a negative thing for a quality of life and just the general socialization that you have in your backyard on weekends and family gatherings and that kind of thing. So those are my concerns, and as I say, I have no issue with skateboarders. I have no issue with sporting activities, but my thought would be, how can we do this kind of thing in a way that benefits the broader community without impacting individual residents? I have an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old son, so They're in bed fairly early, and I don't know about you, but I don't want them getting back up at 8:45 because we've got itinerant noise 55 feet from where they're sleeping. So those are the only perspectives. I have no other issues with my neighbor or neighborhood that I'm aware of, and I would embrace the opportunity to take this discussion and move it in the direction of having another park benefit for somewhere in the city of Goleta. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. And by the way, which one of your kids had the party this weekend?
That would be Henry, the 8-year-old, yeah.
Good for you. Good for Henry. Thank you. Appreciate your thoughts. Are there any questions for Mr. Grant at this time? I don't have a speaker slip for the landowner themselves, but we can clearly have him come up. Mr. Morales, were you willing to speak?
Sure.
Thank you. Welcome.
How you doing?
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm the one with the ramp. You know, just the intent of a ramp, you know, the dimensions are large, but it's actually, it's considered a mini ramp. I used to skateboard a lot growing up. We rode ramps that were 12 or 15 feet tall, pretty big. This was given to us. It was at another house out in Goleta. You know, our intent for this was to have a place for our children to ride the skateboard instead of ride out in the street. If I would have known that I'd be here in front of you folks tonight for this, no way. As far as...
Mr. Morales, can you use the microphone, please?
Oh, sorry about that.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I talked about these. Our thought was, you know, to provide a place for our children to skate, not for every skater in Goleta, Santa Barbara, to come over and congregate, absolutely not. Just for our children to have a place where we can supervise them, where they can have fun enjoying, you know, skateboarding. As far as the noise, as you can see, it's still in the same state. It hasn't been assembled. It's been back there 2 years now. We haven't rode it. We haven't done anything to it. I'm thinking, as I put in the plan, we could mitigate the noise considerably by putting baffling in the transitions, boxing off the sides, the ends, which would also reduce the noise, put one more layer of plywood, which would equate to 3 layers, put a layer of roofing felt between that layer, then a layer of masonite, then we would caulk the seam, so it would be pretty much a seamless riding surface. Way back, you know, we rode a lot of ramps that were poorly constructed. This one was constructed by Powell Skateboards from the people we received it from. Very sturdy, made up 2x6s. We rode it before we transported it. Wasn't noisy, you know. Those folks had it for a few years. They never had any complaints. I would think by incorporating these noise mitigation measures, I think it would be quieter than skateboarding out in the street with the wheels sliding out there. You know, as far as the hours, I want to be quick. We are not going to be riding it all the time. You know, I'd propose even modifying the hours maybe to 11 in the morning or 12, maybe a half hour after dusk. It won't be ridden during the day. Our children are at school. I have 3, a son and 2 daughters. They do sports. So pretty much after school, they're at practice. Weekends, they're at tournaments. So, you know, like with anything, you get it. You know, they probably ride it for a bit at first, but it won't be continuous 24/7 noise. We'd definitely be respectful to the neighborhood. As far as the hedges, this whole side right here is covered. On the other side, there are a couple of large citrus trees that block the fence, and there's another large shrub.
So I would imagine the view from Mr. Grant's yard pretty minimal. As far as standing on the ramp and whatnot, there were platforms when we moved it, but they are cut off. The place where someone would stand, if at all,
would be this section right here, and that
would be just to drop in. And like I said, it would only be my children, not hanging out up on top. We would be there to supervise. Like I said, we would modify the hours. When we would not be at home, we'd put a chain across the ramp so it couldn't be ridden by other people. And, you know, in closing, there's, you know, as many cities as you look online that have not approved ramps, you can find almost equal amount of number that have approved them. You know, so, you know, it wasn't my intent to be up here in front of all you folks and, you know, have Mr. Grant come here. And we just wanted to have a safe environment for the kids to play in the back. So that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Morales. Sure. Any questions for the landowner? None? I don't have any other requests to speak. Any of you in the audience interested in speaking on this particular project? I will close the hearing then for the public, bring it back to this commission. Any discussion from the commission? Any other questions we might have for staff? Who wants to be the first one of the year? Commissioner Shiller.
Thank you, Chair Daniels. I wonder if somebody might be able to let us know how far it is from the ramp, which I see is 47 feet to the property line, and then how far it is to Mr. Grant's residence, whatever the closest structure would be beyond the 47 feet.
Mr. Schiller, members of the commission, eyeballing it, I don't know if you can see, I have this hand cursor outlining Mr. Morales' property, and then to the north, that's Mr. Grant's property. And I think we can ask both Mr. Grant and Mr. Morales. But my guess is, in my planning experience, being this R1 neighborhood, that you have at least probably an 8-foot setback.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Grant said about 55 feet from his house to the ramp.
Okay, thank you.
Others? Just for clarity, this is the short, the Reader's Digest version of what has occurred here to date. The LUP was permitted. It was then appealed, and now city staff is recommending denial of the permitted ramp. Correct?
Mr. Chair, members, yes.
Thank you. Nobody else wants to go?
I had another question then. Thank you. Will a planning commission decision on this set a precedent for future neighborhood skateboard decisions?
Council, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Chair, members of the commission, as you've seen the staff's presentation, one of the important factors that they've looked at is providing context of other decisions. Certainly in a future skateboard ramp appeal, they would look to the commission's action in this case. However, that would not be binding in that case, and it would be particularly relevant, too, to look at what basis the commission grounds its decision in. Particularly what staff has asked the commission to look at is a factual question as to conformance with the general plan noise issues. And that's a factual finding that the commission makes based upon what's presented here, whether the commission finds the same way that staff has opined or if the commission finds another way. Different set of circumstances on a different appeal that comes before you or before a different commission in the future would be looked on the facts relevant to that case.
If I may add to our counsel's, this also, looking into the future, hopefully we'll have a more specific framework that we can use as a tool to help us work with these in the future. Lots of cities have comprehensive playground, or not playground, recreational equipment regulations, which include skateboard ramps. It's not widespread, but they are out there. And so in addition to the context possibly changing in the future case, I would also imagine that the policy is going to be different too. Yeah, the framework, I mean, yeah.
Mr. Ling, I had a follow-up question for you. Just wondering why you decided to originally approve the land use permit, knowing that it may not have conformed with the spirit and intent of the general plan noise element 1 and 6.
Mr. Sheila, members of the commission, let me turn back to page 3 of the staff report for my reference that references the objectives. They are general. They are subjective. And we thought initially that the ramp was, even though it was, it's quite large, with the mitigation and the design for noise, that it wasn't way out of scope from the other play structures that we've approved in the past. So to reiterate the way where we were looking forward when we were considering approval of the land use permit, we believe that also with the noise mitigation and plus the neighborhood outreach, that you put those two together and then we could let the appeal process reveal more information, concerns of neighbors. That was what was behind our first reasoning. In our second reasoning, now that we have the appeal, we've talked to Mr. Grant and have decided that to lean in favor of caution. Now, especially that Mr. Grant has lodged a formal complaint.
As this is complaint-driven, is it possible to, and forgive me for not knowing the real difference between the two, but rather than a land use permit, a conditional use permit?
No, though conditions can be attached to this permit. New ones can be. And I believe our staff's counsel has something to add to the discussion.
Good evening.
Good evening. I just wanted to clarify, Joanna Smith, Assistant City Attorney, and I've been advising staff on this appeal. And I just wanted to clarify a little bit of the situation. As Mr. Giles had explained earlier, staff did not have a land use permit request like this prior to this situation and did not have a lot of facts available to them to make the determination of the findings. And based on the information that was initially provided to them through the application, they initially were able to make all three findings. However, through the appeal, more facts have been presented to staff that has resulted in staff's recommendation this evening. It wasn't that initial finding was incorrect. It was that the facts weren't available to staff at the time to give them a clear picture of the entire thing. So they were able to initially have facts that supported that initial finding, but additional facts have changed the situation. Staff has presented this as a recommendation of the staff, but the position is that and staff's position is that a determination of the finding must be made by the Planning Commission. Although conditions may be attached to this permit, it is a ministerial permit. The only conditions that may be attached to it are to allow a finding that is required for the permit. So no conditions outside of the scope of those required findings may be attached to the permit. That would make it a conditional use permit.
Upon the appeal, you indicated additional facts came forward, but none of those facts were any sound levels associated with the actual project being used?
I don't think we had that specific information.
Mr. Shima members, that is correct. Being that the ramp is not completed and it's not in a usable state, we don't know what this sounds like.
Thank you.
If I could ask a question to the appellant. Mr. Grant, you mentioned 85 decibels. Is that something you found in your literature?
No, I spoke to an acoustic engineer because I was interested when the part of the presentation Mr. Morales made indicated the use of baffles. And what was indicated to me was the baffles, essentially what you're creating is a large drum. And even if you seal it, the motion on it, on wood, with 100 and 110-pound people or larger perhaps using it, you're going to have a tremendous amount of noise. And the variable decibels will be from 60 to 85 decibels. That's quite a lot to have outside your bedroom window. And I want to point out the location of the bedrooms are exactly on that corner of the house. That's an issue that's part of our concern.
Mm-hmm. And there was no dimensional contours with respect to the noise generation that were discussed with your acoustical engineer?
No, the information that I received when I spoke about 200 to 400 foot barriers in other places, which are quite common. I'm sure Mr. Ling has seen that in some of the research. Mm-hmm. Those are the numbers that are generated on the conservative side of sound generation. And by way of analyzing that, I'm sure your staff might have gone down to the skateboard park downtown. Yes, it's a different material. Yes, it's a different structure. Mm-hmm. Stand 100 feet away and listen to the volume of noise. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous amount of noise. And I submit to you, if it's on wood, on a structure that's sealed, you're roller skating on a drum. It's making a lot of noise. It's vibrating.
Thank you. Any additional questions at this point? Otherwise, I'm of the understanding that there's a rebuttal period for each of the appellant and the landowner. Is that correct?
I do have one more question. I think I see some swimming pools in this neighborhood, and there are swimming pools in other places in Goleta. Are swimming pools classified as accessory structure?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, they are not. There is actually a separate swimming pool section in the zoning ordinance that instructs us as to how to process those applications. So they are distinguished, actually, and addressed specifically.
When you might process a swimming pool, what kind of noise consideration do you look at? For example, is there a chart that lists out, you know, we have some comparisons. A washing machine makes a certain amount of noise. So when you talk about decibels in another application, we can all kind of understand a washing machine. So with a swimming pool, what kind of noise parameters do you look at?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, the guidance we have in the zoning ordinance, I believe, is barely a paragraph long. And I think it says that it cannot be in the front yard setback, mm-hmm. and that the pool equipment must be 5 feet from a property line. And I think that was something to do with noise consideration, the hum of a pump and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's all we have.
Thank you, Patty.
Would a typical noise ordinance differentiate what kind of noise, or would it just simply be based on the levels of the decibel levels recorded at a certain point on the property?
I think it could do whatever the instructions were as far as the scope of work and the work program for the noise ordinance. So it just depends on what the jurisdiction wants in terms of regulations and what kinds of noise to regulate and how to regulate it and so forth.
Would you happen to know or be familiar with any situations where one type of noise might be tolerable at a higher level of decibels than another kind of noise?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, apologies, but no, I couldn't be accurate on that offhand.
Commissioner Wells, anything else? Okay. Ms. Miller, it's correct that the appellant and the landowner have a rebuttal period?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, that was assuming that there had been public testimony that might necessitate a response.
Okay. Thank you. Well, before this commission gets into its deliberations, are there anything the two of you would like to say to wrap up something or clarify something that we might have missed? Mr. Morales? Thank you.
Thank you. In regards to the noise, about boxing it off, I had called up several manufacturers that manufacture wooden skateboard ramps, asking them how to mitigate the noise. That was their suggestion that when they have sold ramps to other people throughout the United States, these are national manufacturers, that they enclose it and put the insulation and the roofing felt to caulk it. I don't think they're acoustical engineers, but they have real life experience on manufacturing these structures. So I'm taking their word. I really think it would dampen the noise quite a bit. And like I said, we would definitely look at modifying the hours of use. But that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morales. Mr. Grant, anything else before we close the public hearing?
I'd just like to reiterate the observation that if the commission deems it desirable to have these kinds of devices, let's find a public place and do it right and do it in a way that a lot of people could share in it, because your next question will be the house down the road and the house down the road. Where is the ramp small? Where is it, you know, something that is not going to impact the quality of life in the residential area? And it's a difficult balance you have to make. But thank you for your time.
Understood. Thank you. Is there a question?
Mr. Grant, I had a question for you. Can you conceive of any possible mitigations for this project that would make it permissible in your neighborhood? Is there a certain decibel level, if achieved, would be satisfactory?
But the question is, and I recognize the good faith that Mr. Morales is offering, but we're into the great unknown here. What is loud? What is not loud? I mean, the numbers are the numbers. And when you enclose a wooden device, it's 24 feet, and you have random itinerant noise and people doing tip-ups where they, you know, they're propping their boards up and banging, and the conversations that go along with that. These are normal things for a public park. They are not really things that I think work in a residential area. And longer term, as we look at community building here in Goleta, I think you're going to be faced with more and more of these kinds of discussions and how do we best use the resources around us in the public lands and have recreational activities like this. I just don't see it. You know, I'd like a water park in my backyard for my kids, but I think you folks might have a problem with that. So I think the difficult things that we have to judge, and again, if you have guests over in a business reception in your backyard and it's 2 to 4 in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon and you've got a constant hum of 85 decibels for that, whose fault is that? It's not the kid's fault. It's not your fault for having a reception in your backyard, but do you have a reasonable expectation for privacy and use of your home? So that becomes the issue, I think.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing at this point, and it's back to the commission for deliberation.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to recuse myself from this discussion at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, I think I'm going to step up and be the first one here in this new year. clearly, both neighbors, you know, have got merit to their positions. I don't feel any heavy animosity here. It's an issue about land use, difficult to regulate when people are sleeping and when people have business activities in their backyard, and equally difficult to regulate when skateboarding, or for that matter, swing sets, or tree forts, or jungle gyms are being utilized in somebody's backyard as well. when I went to the property this weekend, I expected to see something much, much larger, and I was somewhat underwhelmed by the size of this apparatus. Looking at your site plan, Mr. Morales, I'm calculating it takes up about 10% of your backyard. And somebody can check my math if they want to, but I'm getting about 4,000 square feet of backyard area, and you got about 400 square feet of footprint on that ramp, plus or minus. I was thinking I'd see something about 50%, and so that was my underwhelming moment at that point. We're talking about neighbors who have got potentially different schedules, but it's my belief that this particular commission talks about land use. And land use is not just on Wakefield. Land use is throughout the city. And so, you know, I'm going to be looking at the land use and whatever precedents this might set with respect to the entirety of the city and not between these two neighbors. I find the conditioning, from a practical standpoint, unenforceable. Understand, you know, very much so that Mr. Morales has stepped forward with these and even tried to further restrict them, and I applaud that. I'm not sure I'm going to feel comfortable if we move forward with this ramp that I could move forward with any conditioning. And I'm going to get back to the swing set. How high can you swing on a swing set? I'm going to get back to the jungle gym. You know, how tall can the jungle gym be? The tree fort. Can the tree fort only be on the first branch of a tree? You know, these might be somewhat extreme analogies, but on the other hand, this you know, this will continue. I see good faith between both of these neighbors, and I appreciate that. But I hope that they appreciate that. I believe that we need to look at land use. I think it's an excellent idea, Mr. Grant, with respect to a public park and having larger commercial facilities in a public park. I don't see this as a commercial facility. Also, if I take a quick read of the zoning ordinance, if you'll allow. Permitted uses of the R1 zone, this is a single-family residential zone, and this is allowed by right. Uses buildings and structures customarily incidental to residential units for exclusive use of the residents of the premises and their guests, and not involving the maintenance of a commercial enterprise on the premise. From my standpoint, that's exactly what Mr. Morales has. And to suggest, at least from the opinion of this commissioner, to suggest that he doesn't meet the intent of the land use policies with respect to noise, I can't go there. I find it difficult, if I can find this, to suggest that there's an incompatibility of land use with noise exposure levels, excessive noise. And I understand the incidental noise that Mr. Grant is talking about, but, you know, DBAs can be calculated, you know, 24 hours a day, and I don't see in this instance where we've got something that's going to be overused, you know, just merely because of the size of it. You can only get a couple people on there, and I'm guessing you probably don't use, you get more than two on there at a time, if that. But also, the size of it just doesn't warrant, in my mind, any type of excessive or egregious use or noise, excessive noise on the property. I've got a few more notes here, but I think I'll leave it at that for now, and maybe we can come back to the other notes after we hear from the rest of the commission. Commissioner Walz.
This is really difficult, and I agree with our chair. Both parties, I think, have shown very good faith and a lack of animosity. I'd like to talk about the general plan issues first, if I may. The finding is that must be made for this ramp is that it's compatible with the general plan. And those are three sections of the general plan, the policy sections. And I've really struggled with this, but I think this ramp is compatible for the following reasons. As NE1 speaks to excessive and unacceptable noise levels, but here I don't have proof before me that the noise levels generated by the use of this ramp will be excessive or unacceptable. There is no noise-specific study, and I don't think one could have been made under these circumstances, and we do not yet have our comprehensive ordinance. I think certainly the, just as an aside, I think the provisions of the general plan are enforceable if and findings can be made either way. But in this case, I don't see that the ramp is incompatible. And that would be also for NE7, which speaks to design criteria to attenuate noise. We have some mitigations that are intended to do just that. So one way or another, I'm going to be able to agree with staff this evening, because first they did approve it, and now they're recommending something different. I want to speak also to the idea that there are no practical means to implement limitations or mitigations and conditions. I think we, like most cities, have a complaint-driven system of response. And I've seen a lot of projects. Some of the larger projects actually have hundreds of conditions, and I wonder how we would be able to enforce, yet the conditions go a long way if there is a complaint.
So I do think that if this ramp moves forward, that it should be and could be conditioned. I think staff will know if there's a violation or an alleged violation. I noticed that there are no complaints or expressions of uneasiness from other neighbors. The applicant has gone a long way saying that this would be for his own children, therefore there wouldn't be the traffic and parking issues that were first might have been identified. The ramp contains its own almost self-mitigating noise reduction measures, the insulation, enclosed ends, felt layering and caulking. As to the privacy issue, I think there are a lot of things in backyards that go at the 5-foot mark, as Mr. As Brent said, even a swing. And then some of the other conditions that the applicant has mentioned are the chain when not in use with padlock, an adult on premise when in use. And I like those conditions, but I would like to ask my colleagues for some serious consideration about one of the conditions or mitigations. That is about the hours of operation. This evening, Mr. Morales said make it 11 or even 12 o'clock start. I like that later start. That gives Mr. Grant and his family some later time, particularly on weekends. I like the 12 o'clock hour. Mr. Morales has also suggested that the stop time could be somehow associated with a half hour after dusk. This one I do not like. That kind of changes, you know, seasonally. But I think that I'm sorry, could you please refresh me on what staff has recommended in the hours?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Wallace, the LUP was approved with 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think 10 a.m. is too early to begin, and I think 9 a.m. is way too late to continue. So this is for the use of Mr. Morales and his family. Mr. Grant has already expressed his work time and things like that. I really think that something more reasonable would be in the order of 12 to 7. And then everybody can have a nice morning and a nice evening. The kids can play with it in the middle of the day. That works for me.
Thank you. Next. Commissioner Kavanaugh.
I, too, appreciate what the appellant and the applicant have brought before us and how they have, that there's not that animosity there. And I have to agree with what has already been said, especially regarding the noise, the excessive noise. I don't think we have anything to base it on to make that finding. And I do like the mitigating measures that have been proposed, especially with the hours of operation. The noon to 8 would be okay with me. Noon to 7.
Noon to 7.
Noon to 7. All right. Noon to 7.
Commissioner Shuler.
Thank you, Chair Daniels. I would agree with Mr. Grant that there is a real need for recreational skateboard park in Goleta. It's important the city of Goleta uphold the intent of noise element 1 in the general plan. As evidenced by our past two cases here at the Planning Commission, it's important that the city of Goleta establish a noise ordinance which contains measurable standards for sound and duration of sound. The applicant has made revisions to the project to try and make it compatible with the neighborhood. So the question I'm trying to answer, will noise be excessive? I cannot make a finding of excessive or nuisance noise until levels and duration of sound emanating from the various uses of the skateboard ramp are established scientifically. So I would not be able to make the finding A listed on big page 12. I would not be able to support the appeal based on not having that information.
Thank you. Commissioner Wallace, was there something else on your notes?
No.
Okay. I've got 2 points. I will struggle with noon to 7, and maybe there's a way to separate, you know, each of the – well, let me step back. I'm perfectly fine with Mr. Morales adding to his project description if he has the ability to add to his project description, and I'm not sure in this case we can do that here. But if he can, I would be happy if he included what he thought was appropriate from an hour standpoint with respect to when the skateboard ramp is opened. And secondly, I'm disturbed a little that it can only be for your kids. If, you know, little Johnny from next door, from across the street, comes over and wants to play with your children too. I would like to see that be for guests as well, and I think that's only appropriate here. And maybe we've missed that point, but I heard Commissioner Wallace talk about kids only, and maybe I missed that point. So I'd like to hear on that. And Council, can you opine on project description revisions?
Yes, Chair, members of the Commission. In light of the Commission's discussion, staff had presented you with a proposed resolution granting the appeal, and I could offer some modifications to that which would allow Council to take action tonight, but also which might address your concerns. One of the things being that the Commission action could simply be to deny the appeal and authorize then the granting of the land use permit. It's a ministerial permit that staff issues, and staff can work with the applicant to address the hours concerns and the use concerns along the lines that were listed, and that could be something. Certainly we have a clear understanding, the parties have a clear understanding of the Commission's direction, and that's something that could take place in the context of the land use permit. And this would afford the Commission opportunity to move forward tonight and the processing of the land use permit and then the opportunities for any appeals to that. And if you so desire, I could walk through the proposed changes to the recommended resolution.
I appreciate that, Council, and I think that's a good suggestion, and maybe we'll wait on the walking through until the end here, unless this is the end. but is there any other discussion at this point?
Mr. Chair, unless you object, I'd like to ask Mr. Morales how he feels about the mitigation of significantly shortened hours.
Mr. Morales, could you come to the microphone, please? Thank you.
I would be willing to change the hours. You know, 12 to, what do we say, 7?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's acceptable. I mean, like, we're not going to be riding it all the time, you know. And basically, let the kids come over. You know, I'm a little nervous, you know. Mm-hmm. If someone were to go down and bust an arm, I don't want someone coming, you know, maybe have a sign of liability waiver or something. But that's great you feel that way. I thought that way, too, at first. I started thinking about it. I said, well, you know, I don't know, but right now, if it's granted, I just kind of stick to our immediate family. But the hours, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Commissioner Shiller.
Based on what Mr. Giles had said, if we do approve the land use permit with those conditions, what would Mr. Grant be able to do if it turns out the it's built out and used and the decibel levels turn out to be excessive based on whatever our ordinance turns out to call out as being excessive? What recourse would he have at that point in time, or would that skateboard ramp be vested in that backyard in perpetuity?
Ms. Miller?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, if it ends up that the skateboard ramp is granted a land use permit and that skateboard is completed in accordance with that permit, it's vested. In other words, future regulations could not require Mr. Morales to remove that skateboard, perhaps a violation of the project description or conditions that have been attached, but not future regulations.
Chair, members of the commission, just to follow up on that as well, general public nuisance regulations of the city also might come into play as far as the use of the structure. It would not be the structure itself be the violation, but if the way that it is used, perhaps by a subsequent owner or whatever, and if there's it becomes the loud parties and things like that, and generally the standard for that would be that it's disturbing more than one neighbor, so that it's not just a private nuisance but a public nuisance, the city would be able to step in at that point in time and regulate the conduct rather than the land use and the structure.
And when you say regulate the conduct, would the regulation of the conduct result in a reduction of the overall noise that would be recorded, which would make it fall within the parameters of the new noise ordinance?
Well, what would happen in that case would be that a citation, well, before a citation, but code enforcement would work with the property owner to make sure that, to let them be aware that the conduct has fallen outside of the parameters of what's acceptable, that it does constitute a nuisance. And if that wasn't enough to motivate the property owner to cure the conduct, then there could be a citation either administratively or criminally to reinforce that concept so that the owner would cease that conduct. It's not a matter of, like I say, addressing the structure and putting additional mitigation measures on it, but allowing, setting a standard at which the conduct must fall so as to not create a public nuisance to the point that it disturbs the neighborhood.
Anything else? Nothing? No? Gentlemen, I appreciate again your discussions here today. I would hope that both of you could keep an open mind with respect to this permit and also be very respectful with respect to perhaps when one or the other has an event at the particular house and needs some kind of a quiet period of time. If it's within the time frames of when the ramp is open, and I'm very pleased that you guys are here doing this in a very professional manner, and I think that goes a long way in having us have a good discussion as well. I'll take a motion. Council, we need to discuss the revisions to the resolution.
Mr. Chair.
Yes?
To Mr. Giles.
Got it.
I would like to make a motion to deny the appeal, therefore allowing the skateboard ramp to go forward with all of the conditions and noise suppression measures and mitigations that staff has recommended, as well as a reduction in the hours from noon to 7 p.m. So whatever we need to do to make that motion.
Commissioner, if I could ask you to look at big page 11 in your packets. This is the proposed resolution, and these are the changes that I would propose, and I'll ask Ms. Miller to look very closely to see anything that I might miss. The first change I would propose is in the title, second line, change granting to denying. On big page 12, section 2, the findings, paragraph A, the italicized portion is the finding that needs to be made, and following that is the finding. In the first sentence of the finding, the word "not" should be removed so that it would be the proposed project would conform to general plan policy and so forth. In Section 3, the title of Section 3 changed from grant of appeal to denial of appeal. And that language then should read, Appeal 08-171-APP is denied, and the approval of the skateboard ramp portion of Land Use Permit 08-161-LUP is hereby authorized, consistent with the applicant's modifications at the appeal hearing. And then I think staff can make those modifications to the land use permit. I think that the only one is the hours of operation, but I have not looked at that closely. And that is on big page 23. I'm sorry, that is not big page 23. That's the notice.
In the, Mr. Shiles, in the Section 2A,
yes,
where we would say the proposed project would conform to the general plan policy, would that be as conditioned or as mitigated, or that's enough here?
I think that's enough here because the modifications, the mitigations, are all going to be incorporated into the project description. The hours of use, what I was looking at there in big page 23 is the notice of final approval and includes the project summary. And there it includes, I think, all of the things that were discussed today, but unchanged hours there.
Also, to follow up on that, there were a number of points made by Commissioner Wallace and Commissioner Shelor with respect to being able to make that finding. Is there any need to incorporate the parts of that discussion in here? I mean, it didn't sound like we got the mitigation issue taken care of, but I thought the findings perhaps could be made stronger if they need to be made stronger. I throw that out as nitpicking.
Certainly, if it is the Commission's desire, we can bring this back and incorporate additional findings to support the Council's or the Commission's action. I don't think it's necessary, and certainly this is consistent with the scope of the findings that were recommended with the grant of the appeal.
Okay. Well, that increases my level of comfort and less others. Okay. Ms. Miller?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, and perhaps Council could continue to look at the resolution. I think there is one additional edit under Section 2, italicized portion C, which talks about the property being in compliance. And this discussion presumes granting of the appeal, so then describes the skateboard ramp as being an unpermitted use and therefore not in compliance. So we would modify that to put the opposite in there, that it is being authorized.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Shuler?
Thank you, Chair Daniels. In the future, in case we have other situations like this, is it staff's intent at some point to be able to provide us with actual sound information, and I say sound, decibel information at certain points on the map so that we've actually got something to compare with standards versus anecdotal evidence, or in this case, no evidence whatsoever?
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, if I understand your question correctly, should we have a similar appeal in the future, you'd like more specific information, which we can attempt to do. We were obviously unable to do this because of the condition of the skateboard ramp, but we can try in the future under a similar circumstance to somehow obtain either manufacturer's information or somehow get more precise information for you.
On a Side note, I would be interested in first knowing which division of the city, if it's planning or if it's, I think it's called Neighborhood Services, has the responsibility for public parks, and if there is a line item on any of the city public parks for the potential for a skateboard ramp or a skateboard park.
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, I'll let Mr. Chase add to it if need be, but parks come under the jurisdiction of our Community Services Department. And I, at this point, couldn't say precisely whether or not it's budgeted to consider a skateboard park in the future.
Thank you. Mr. Chase?
There's really nothing more I can add to it. I just don't know if it's part of our CIP.
Okay. Thank you for that. Commissioner Wallace, you grab your microphone again?
No.
No? Do I have a motion?
I will attempt a motion that we deny the appeal, therefore allowing the skateboard ramp to go forward, subject to the conditions imposed by staff and as agreed to in our meeting this evening, and subject to the changes suggested by Mr. Giles. Is anything else needed in that? Okay.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Is Commissioner Solomon absent or abstained at this point? Abstained. Thank you. 401. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you, too, also. We have a couple more items on the agenda tonight, if I can get back to our agenda. And if Commissioner Solomon could sign back in.
Present.
Excellent. Excellent. Director's report. And before that, I apologize, but there was the public forum was left open, and I did not see anybody come in for the Venico project, so I will close the public forum and go directly to the director's report.
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, I only have a couple small housekeeping items, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Chase. I wanted to acknowledge that with completion of your action on the appeal that you just heard this evening, we have no items for January 25th, so we would then be canceling that meeting. And I just wanted to point out to you that at your meeting of February 8th, for that meeting would be the election of the 2010 chair and vice chair. And finally, with the cancellation of the January 25th Planning Commission meeting, I wanted to remind everybody that then this will be Commissioner Kavanaugh's last meeting, and wanted to extend my gratitude and thanks for your participation on the commission for these past several years. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Mr. Chase, did you have something to follow up?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Just two items. The City Council on November 17th took final action on the Track 3 of the General Plan Amendment Work Program. Your commission not only was a major player in leading up to that decision, but in so many other ways guiding re-examination of general plan from top to bottom. You deserve to have new books, new general plan documents, along with the design review board, and we will have those to you in the February time frame. We could give you the small excerpts. Our feeling was to give you the books themselves that show which policies have been amended over the past 2.5 years. And then also I wanted to join with Patty, and I know there's a whole variety of players at the staff level that want to thank from the bottom of our hearts Commissioner Kavanaugh. You know, when you look at the role that each one of you have played, you've been asked to be a voice of a community or a city and share your perspective. And it's kind of interesting, when we got to know each of you and you got to know us, there were very clear, definable roles. You have this professional staff, and the one thing you didn't want to be was buried by the volumes of technical stuff. And I think we did a very good job of burying you with all kinds of technical stuff. It wasn't our intention. In turn, each of you individually wanted to be heard, and over the course of this commission and the members that have been on this commission previously, something gelled, and it became a very trusting relationship amongst all of you, even when you disagreed, particularly when you disagreed with each other, and particularly when you disagreed with whatever the perspective or the recommendation is that was coming from staff. And I'm sure each of you can relate to this, that sometimes you want to say, hey, staff, you just plain got it wrong, or what were you thinking? But each of you, and in particular, Doris, found a way to express it in a dialect that was both forceful, but at the same time extremely professional and very courteous to us. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm speaking not just for myself, but for a lot of us here. Thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Planning Commission comments. Mr. Sheila, can I start with you?
Doris, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to work with you on the Planning Commission. And this past year, it's been a pleasure. Appreciate it. Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Commissioner Solomon?
Doris, I can't believe it's been 3 years. And it's been just delightful working with you and learning from you. And I think that you've left a wonderful legacy with your wisdom and your perspectives and your humanity. Thanks a lot.
Commissioner Walz?
Doris, we've worked together for a year, and I think we have found ground much more common to agree with than to disagree with. I'd like you to know that I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate the way you state your perspective, and I appreciate your congeniality on this commission. Thank you. I have one more comment. At this point, it is not likely that I will be available for the February 8th meeting.
Let's talk about that meeting in a moment. Doris, we were there on day one, and I won't duplicate what you've already heard tonight, but I do want to make 2 points. I very much appreciated your perspective of being in the community for over 40 years to give us some very important background and understanding, and I also appreciated your perspective with respect to you being a banker and in the business sector of this community, and giving us that understanding also. So that helped me a lot, and it made for a good balance on this commission, and I appreciate all that, and I thank you. February 8th. Can we put that on an agenda when there's something else on the agenda? Does the ordinance not allow for that? Or can I hear from staff, please?
Mr. Chair and commissioners, there is an adopted ordinance that established the Planning Commission, and it's quite specific. Under one of its sections, each year, at its first regular meeting in February, the Commission shall elect from its membership a chair and a vice chair. So that's how the ordinance reads. And then secondly, it may be that you will have an item on that date. As of publishing that projection report this afternoon, you did not. So it's not for certain that you might not have another item. Mm-hmm.
And is this commission bound by that ordinance date protocol, given that there will only be three of us here?
I think I'll defer to legal counsel on that.
Well, certainly if...
nobody else has asked the question.
Certainly if there were not a quorum, that meeting would not occur. Mm-hmm. Then the first regular meeting would be on the 22nd. If there's a certainly from the policy consideration of only having three commissioners present at a time when you're doing a reorganization does tend to present some level of problems, and I don't see a reason why the commission could not, if the commission chose not to meet on the 8th, then the first regular meeting that they have in February would be the meeting of the 22nd and would be consistent with the ordinance.
I would feel more comfortable with the four of us here, just for protocols and for years to come. Okay. There was also, and I know this is probably part of the director's report, but there's also a planning seminar in Monterey in March, right?
Thank you very much. The California Cities has the Planners Institute, which is specifically aimed at planning commissioners and their lead staff, March 24th, 25th, 26th.
Okay. Thank you. And just for curiosity, how many folks are going from here? One nod, two nods, three nods? I will not be able to go. The robotics competition for DP Engineering Academy is going to be that week. And so this is a good chance for me to say the robotics has started. They got their instructions this weekend, and they have 6 weeks to build a robot and then take it to national and international competition. So I'm thinking about all the hours I won't have to sleep, but good luck with that to the team, and can we get an adjournment?
Can I say something before
I'm
we
sorry.
Adjourn?
Commissioner Kavanaugh, I
think. Yeah, I know I haven't said a whole lot tonight, but I do want to say a little something. First, I want to start by saying, you know, I moved to Goleta in 1966, and I was just a little girl at the time, and my dad just wanted to move his family from the Midwest to California and find a great place to raise a family, and I think he truly did find the good land when he landed us all here in Goleta. I've had the opportunity to grow up in this town, go to school in this town, work in this town, this city. I've lived in every part of the city. I've lived in Old Town, on the north side, on the east side, on the west side, on the south side. I lived everywhere. I've owned a mobile home, a condominium, a single family residence. And so someone told me that would be perfect to bring to a planning commission. And that's how I got, because I kept saying, what am I going to bring to this planning commission? I feel truly honored to have served in this capacity and to work with everyone, with Brent, with Julie, Johnny, with Bill, with Ed and Ken before. The staff has been amazing. They've helped to educate me, Steve and Patty and Ann and everyone and everything I've learned. And I can't thank Wendy enough with all my travels to make sure the binder always ended up on my porch if I wasn't in town. And so I just want to thank everyone. I left the city, may be making a decision to move from the city, which has been big for me, and I just want to thank everyone for, and Michael Bennett for giving me the opportunity to be a part of all this. So thank you.
Well, again, thank you. Maybe it would be fitting for you to motion to adjourn for us, please.
I'll motion to adjourn.
All right. You know, if we don't vote, you have to stay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Good night, everybody.